Chapter 1. Statism, Our Condition. We are coerced by our fellow human beings. Since they have the ability to choose to do otherwise, our condition need not be this. Coercion is immoral, inefficient, and unnecessary for human life and fulfillment. Those who wish to be supine as their neighbors prey on them are free to so choose. This manifesto is for those who choose otherwise, to fight back. To combat coercion, one must understand it. More importantly, one must understand what one is fighting for, as much as what one is fighting against. Blind reaction goes in all directions negative to the source of oppression and disperses opportunity. Pursuit of a common goal focuses the opponents and allows formation of coherent strategy and tactics. Diffuse coercion is optimally handled by local, immediate self-defense. Though the market may develop larger-scale businesses for protection and restoration, random threats of violence can only be dealt with roots of mysticism and delusions planted deep in the victim's thinking, requires a grand strategy and a cataclysmic point of historical singularity. Revolution. Such an institution of coercion, centralizing immorality, directing theft and murder, and coordinating oppression on a scale inconceivable by random criminality exists. It is the mobs, the gang of gangs, the conspiracy of conspiracies. It has murdered more people in a few recent years than all the deaths in history before that time. It has stolen in a few recent years more than all the wealth produced in history to that time. It has deluded for its own survival more minds in a few recent years than all the irrationality of history to that time. Our enemy, the state. In the 20th century alone, war has murdered more than all previous deaths. Taxes and inflation have stolen more than all wealth previously produced. And the political lies, propaganda, and above all, quote, education, have twisted more minds than all the superstition prior. Yet through all the deliberate confusion and obfuscation, the thread of reason has developed fibers of resistance to be woven into the rope of execution for the state. Libertarianism. Where the state divides and conquers its opposition, libertarianism unites and liberates. Where the state beclouds, libertarianism clarifies. Where the state conceals, libertarianism uncovers. Where the state pardons, libertarianism accuses. Libertarianism elaborates an entire philosophy from one simple premise. Initiatory violence or its threat, that is, coercion, is wrong, i.e., immoral, evil, bad, supremely impractical, etc., and is forbidden. Nothing else is. Libertarianism, as developed to this point, discovered the problem and defined the solution. The state versus the market. The market is the sum of all voluntary human action. If one acts non-coercively, one is part of the market. Thus did economics become part of libertarianism. Libertarianism investigated the nature of man to explain his rights, deriving from non-coercion. It immediately followed that man, or woman, child, Martian, etc., had an absolute right to this life and other property, and to no other. Thus did objective philosophy become part of libertarianism. Libertarianism asked why society was not libertarian now, and found the state, its ruling class, its camouflage, and the heroic historians striving to reveal the truth. Thus did revisionist history become part of libertarianism. Psychology, especially as developed by Thomas Sasse as counter-psychology, was embraced by libertarians seeking to free themselves from both state restraint and self-imprisonment. Seeking an art form to express the horror potential of the state and extrapolate the many possibilities of liberty, libertarianism found science fiction already in the field. From the political, economic, philosophical, psychological, historic, and artistic realms, the partisans of liberty saw a whole, integrating their resistance with others elsewhere, and they came together as their consciousness became aware. Thus did libertarians become a movement. The libertarian movement looked around and saw the challenge. Everywhere, our enemy, the state, from the ocean's depths past arid outposts to the lunar surface in every land, people, tribe, nation, and individual mind. Some sought immediate alliance with other opponents of the power elite to overthrow the state's present rulers. Some sought immediate confrontation with the state's agents. Some pursued collaboration with those in power who offered less oppression for votes. And some dug in for long-term enlightenment of the populace to build and develop the movement. Everywhere, a libertarian alliance of activists sprang up. The state's higher circles were not about to yield their plunder and restore property to their victims at the first sign of opposition. The first counterattack came from anti-principles already planted by the corrupt intellectual caste: defeatism, retreatism, minarchy, collaborationism, gradualism, monocentrism, and reformism, including accepting state office to, quote, improve statism. All of these anti-principles, deviations, heresies, self-destructive contradictory tenets, etc., will be dealt with later. The worst of all is partyarchy, the anti-concept of pursuing libertarian ends through statist means, especially political parties. A libertarian party was the second counterattack of the state unleashed on the fledgling libertarians, first as a ludicrous oxymoron, then as an invading army. The third counterattack was an attempt by one of the 10 richest capitalists in the United States to buy the major libertarian institutions, not just the party, and run the movement as other plutocrats run all the other political parties in capitalist states. The degree of success those statist counterattacks had in corrupting libertarianism led to a splintering of the movement's left and the despairing paralyzation of others. As disillusionment grew with libertarianism, the disillusioned sought answers to this new problem, the state within as well as the state without. How do we avoid being used by the state and its power elite? That is, they asked, how can we avoid deviations from the path of liberty when we know there are more than one? The market has many paths to production and consumption of a product, and none of them are perfectly predictable. So even if one tells us how to get from here, statism, to there, liberty, how do we know that's the best way? Already, some are dredging up the old strategies of movements long dead with other goals. New paths are indeed being offered. Back to the state. Betrayal, inadvertent or planned, continues. It need not. While no one can predict the sequence of steps which will unerringly achieve a free society for free-willed individuals, one can eliminate in one slash all those which will not advance liberty, and applying the principles of the market unwaveringly will map out to a terrain to travel. There is no one way, one straight-line graph to liberty, to be sure. But there is a family of graphs, a space filled with lines, which will take the libertarian to his goal of the free society, and that space can be described. Once the goal is fixed and the paths discovered, only the action of the individual to go from here to there remains. Above all else, this manifesto calls for that action.